Hello and welcome back to another episode of Anything Goes, your favourite podcast with...
In the whole wide world, in the podcast world.
Obviously. As ever with me, Tom Cruise, and...
Me, Josh Bassett.
You, Josh Bassett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, you, and our very special guest, James Gaskell.
Hello, lads.
Are you excited, James?
I'm nervous, mate. I feel Big Will last week was pretty impressive on the podcast, so trying to follow that up is a big task, but... Yeah, privileged. Yeah. Feel very privileged to be here.
We're good, mate. We've carried on the second row theme, but also the back rower theme. Hello, Mr. Utility over there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's going to last very long, but if we could have a word with Lee and the coaches, I'd very much like to play a bit more back row.
Yeah, get that career even longer, I reckon.
Mate, it, honestly, a career extender.
Rolling back the years, though.
Yeah, it must be, what was 6 or 7 years since I last did it?
When you broke into sale, I've just gone serious.
No, I love it.
I actually just thought I really want to know the answer to this question. Was it predominantly in the back row straight away? Because you played, didn't you play? You've played eight,
six, eight, second row.
Oh, look at that.
Hey, what can't he do?
But was it predominantly as a back rower, and then as you got older, just
as I got older, slower it went. I think I started out in the second row for maybe 6 months. And then Kingsley Jones decided that I was a little bit too light and a little bit too small. And next thing you know, I'm in the back row. And then I almost became like a bit of a stopgap. Sale lost Powell Lee and didn't really have anyone to replace him. So somehow ended up at eight, and that lasted for a couple of years. And Dye promised me that I could play eight, and next minute I'm in the second row. And the rest is history.
Oh, he's mugged you right off there. Who was ahead of you in the, who played in the second row when you were in the back row at Sale then?
I think that first year there would have been Dean Schofield, Chris Jones, maybe the Lobbe brothers were still there.
Ooh.
So yeah, there's name drop. A fair bit. I'm sorry.
That's huge. No, I like it. It's a good start.
But yeah, it was. They were very enjoyable days.
Yeah, and then next minute you're a gritty, seasoned second rower.
I mean, I'd like to say that it's the grittiest position on the pitch, but I'd give it to hookers. There's nothing worse than seeing that scrum go down with you boys in the middle of it and nothing you can do about it.
It is hell, that. But we were talking about this. I can't remember who I was speaking to about the worst position on the pitch. And I reckon second row. You don't get the credit for pushing in the scrum. Lineouts are sort of just, you're expected to sort of run them. They're sort of, a lot of the analysis goes behind the scenes, and it's...
Yeah.
The amount of hours that go into lineouts for, like you said, the reward...
Oh,
I don't think it's worth it, personally. I think just lob the ball in.
Mate, all those tries that you've scored, first phase, offline.
I'm joking. I appreciate it, lads. I appreciate the throw. I appreciate the lift. I appreciate all them little, you know. For me, I think the one thing that backs know the least about in rugby would be the line-out. Scrums, I reckon you kind of get a general gist of it. You know, you talk to the linos, you say, look, tight head's long-legged there,
he's
sir.
On his
look
arm,
at
sir.
That. Look, he's hinging, he's hinging. And they look at me like, what are you going on about? But the line, honestly, don't have a clue. Do not, like, the amount of, like, you know, all your calls, the amount of movements, the dummies, whatever it is, I honestly think if you put backs into it and said, right, go, they would have no clue. They'd just be throwing, is it a spot ball? Just be like, yeah, two.
I say it's changed loads, hasn't it, over the years? Because I think back in the day, the hooker used to call it, didn't he?
Yeah.
And now, obviously, with liftings come in and the hooker's got no vision whatsoever. I think some people might still think the hookers throw it, but the amount of hours that the second rowers and you boys put in to analyse games is...
Yeah. I feel like it's one of them, though, where if something goes wrong, you boys get blamed.
Yeah.
It's one of them where it could be an awful call or an awful lift and the commentators go straight for the hooker. Must be the throw, which I'm more than happy to shoulder that. But, yeah, I feel like it's one of them where... Unless you do it, it's sort of, it just looks very simple. And but then you speak to someone like Kiernan, and it's a full science, and there's maths behind it, and he overthinks it.
You've got an algorithm, hasn't he?
Yeah, 100%. But it's one of them where you can, it's like anything, you can only do so much, can't you? There's only so many people you can throw in the air, and only so many movements you can put in. But it's definitely it's a fun challenge. It's a bit like, a bit nauseous as it sounds, it's a bit like chess, isn't it? As in, it's me against another caller.
Hold tight the Queen's Gambit. Oi, oi.
And it's just like, yeah, it's a bit one-on-one. Me against you, let's see if I can outsmart and outthink you. And I kind of quite like that challenge.
Do you think it's gone, with all the analysis and all the movements, do you think it's gone so far that it might come back to a bit more simplicity? Like, do you think you could go in there and be like, yeah, like literally walk in and just take it straight away?
Yeah, I feel like it's one. If you've
but
got a hook
how long's that going to... Like, if you went to that once, do you know what I mean? Would teams be expecting that? Because everyone, like you said, so many dummies, so many movements, so many, I don't know what they're called, twisteroos or whatever. There's all these things that could you go back to just, yeah, four, thank you.
I love the way he's calling it four.
Yeah, put it on the badge at two and four. I don't know, I feel like it's one of them where you look at, say, a Bath, and their lineup's so simple. You analyse what they do and there's probably six or seven simple movements and they still win good ball. But then you look at someone like a Harlequins where I think there's one point when they had James Horwell where they were going into a lineup with seven calls, which I feel is a little bit too much. So yeah, I think if you've got a good hooker, you can literally throw up and down balls if your drill's good.
We don't do that, so our hookers must be awful.
I realised after I said that what I've done. I actually think we have some of the best hookers in the Prem.
Oh, don't come coming back now. Yeah. Coming crawling back.
No, keep going.
But yeah, it's definitely it's somewhat fun and it keeps me in a job, I guess.
Too right. God, we started off very noisy there.
I know, but I was really interested because, like I said, backs don't know it. Like you see it happen, you see all these line out meetings going on, you see the lads on the laptops looking at all this stuff, and we have no clue about it. Like you said, we just think it's getting thrown in and off the top.
Yeah. So fans listening that obviously may not know or understand a bit about the line out, in those line out meetings, literally be Jammer and a few of the second rowers and Blazy. There's no hookers involved in there, and loads of hours go into that. So the difference between Jammer's week and the second rowers' weeks in terms of an analysis point of view is so different, especially to yours, John Boy, where you might look who your opposite man might be.
Yeah,
or
100%. Like you said, the backs will, I suppose, focus on the smaller details, whereas the line-out is an integral part to what we do. Like, you know there's going to be X amount of line-outs every week, so the coaches are going to be getting onto the second rows if we're not winning good ball. But then it's also the flip side of that. You're looking at where you can get ball off other teams, because if you can stop them at source and you don't have to defend, then we get to attack straight away, which is, you know, what you get excited about. But for us as backs, you just literally have no clue what goes on in their meetings. You'd go in there and you're hearing all this different terminology, all these calls, and you literally be like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting point you make, because when you look at set piece, lineouts become absolutely massive. I think when you look at the scrums in the league, everything's operating at around 90% plus. Whereas you look at lineouts, the difference between a good lineout and a bad lineout can be, you know, 15-20%. So if you can get a good lineout, and obviously your scrum generally will operate at about 90%, you're going to have a lot of ball and deprive obviously other teams in lineout, then you're off to a bit of a winner. So we probably spend, you know, a lot more time on our lineouts. That analysis that you boys do is absolutely vital, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I think you can almost read a lot in or too much into the lineout stats, because you speak to someone like Gleese and you go, where do you want the ball winning this week? And he's on at the back, which is potentially the hardest place to win
cheers,
the ball.
Pal.
Yeah, class. See what I can do, mate.
If only we had good hookers there.
But
because he thinks it's a rugby league, a taff and a pass, doesn't it?
It's one of them. If you want 100%, you can throw to the front every week, because a lot of teams are happy to give you that ball. But I don't know. I guess for me, if we operate at 80%, but we give Gleese 9 times out of 10 what he wants and we score off the back of it, it's probably arguably better than winning the ball at the front every week and having someone like Jack against Gloucester where he intercepts and runs the length. Yeah. So I think, like you say, is that happy medium between giving the backs the ball, because you don't want to be attacking off.
That's what I was just about to say, is I don't think it's only been the last couple of seasons where you appreciate how much where you win the ball can affect your starter play so much and what effect you have on the defence. Like you said, we've seen it with, you know, that interception from Willis. Then it's obviously the reverse of how we can defend teams if you're forcing them to take the front. Mm. It's just, as we've said, has such a big effect on the game, doesn't it?
Massive.
Yeah, so should we move on to... I think we've only had one game since the last podcast, haven't we? Is that right?
One game, one lockdown.
Yeah, one game.
Europe cancelled.
And into, yeah, two weeks off and whatnot, so... Bath away.
Friday night.
It was everyone. I've seen a few of the articles and it's like, it's just what rugby needed, doesn't it? Yeah. Obviously, Cozzy was having kittens, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't think Cozzy spoke for 2 days after, did he?
No, but 5 points at the Rec, boys, so pretty happy.
That's it. We spoke about it all week, don't you? The Rec is a tough place to go, and I don't know how many games you lads have played there, but I haven't won there that often. So to do it and get, like you said, get 5 points, yes, let in a bit too many points, but we, like I said, it's what the fans wanted, so we gave it what the fans wanted, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, like you say, it was a fun night at the office, wasn't it? Some days where it's a bit of a classic and you win 15-10 and your defence has been unreal and you've had to grind it out, they're also pleasing, but sometimes you just want to let loose a little bit and let the boys have a bit of fun, and I think that's what it was. It
does make me laugh because I'm a sucker for reading a comment here or there, and a few of them are like, oh, it was a great game, and you know, but, and it's like, oh, but the defence coach must be absolutely furious. I'm a bit like, just let us worry about that. Don't you just sit back, watch the game, enjoy the game, and we'll worry about our defence when
we're worried about the review on Monday.
Yeah, but no, obviously, it was good fun, good to see Pabs. Absolutely unreal. He's had a load of plaudits. I actually seen him this morning in the gym. I was like, mate, every time I open my phone, I see your face. I can't get rid of him. But he was mint money.
Yeah, and big Cruise Dog getting on the end as well.
Yeah, just latching onto other people's good work, mate. You know?
No, like you said, yeah, he played amazing. Like 148 metres, I think it was made. 4 line breaks. Like, what a performance. Yeah, a
couple of turnovers in D. It's just a big, powerful unit, isn't he?
He is, isn't he? Nuggety. So it'd be interesting to see, obviously, this it's being recorded before the Six Nations squads get announced. There's obviously a few murmurs going around about an England squad or an Italy squad. So, fingers crossed he gets in. Obviously, definitely. From a selfish point of view, it'd be nice to have him about with us boys, but it'd be fantastic to see him get an international call-up as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, he's got 2 options, so it's exciting.
Yeah, the world's his oyster.
It certainly is.
And off the back of that win, disappointing to have the news that the 2 weeks with no rugby. Comes at a time where obviously we're off the back of a few wins on the bounce and whatnot. But are you boys, how are you taking that? Are you happy for the body to recover a little bit? Or
yeah, I think a week off would have been nice, as in just one weekend of no game.
Yeah.
But that 2 weekends is, you almost, you boys will know, once you've had 5 or 6 games, you always feel knocked in, don't you? And that you can get through 80 minutes or 60 minutes and start to feel okay within 24 hours. But feels like we're going to go back to the dark days of being sore for 3 or 4 days post-game.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because not knowing what's going to happen with Europe, obviously seeing lots of things saying that, you know, that's the end of the group stages and now they're going to go into knockout, but you don't know. And it almost feels like, because we haven't brought any games forward, you're not giving yourself a chance of what's coming later. You don't know whether, you know, we go into a stricter lockdown. Like, you don't know these things, where it feels like we've kind of, it's good to have a little bit of a break and give the body a rest. And I'm sure there's plenty of teams across the Premiership that wanted that. But it feels like with not knowing what's coming, you're kind of not giving yourself any leeway.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the one thing that we can take from it that's positive is we got off to a flyer in Europe and we're 10 points from a possible 10. So if the group stages do get canned, we're in a good position and you'd like to think that we'll go through anyway. Whatever happens, I mean, hopefully they don't cancel the competition. Obviously, we want to be playing, and so going to last 16, does it, and then quarter final, semi final, final, hopefully. But yeah, that would be nice. It'd be funny listening to you say about your body feeling knocked in, literally like a cricket bat, innit?
And 100%.
And then by the time you've played, I don't know, 5 or 6 games on a bounce, you've got tape all over the edges of your cricket bat,
and a few cherries.
Yeah, a few cherries on the middle, crack down the side of it, clinging on for dear life. But yeah. No, we're going into our second week off, aren't we? And like I say, I think from my point of view, 1 week off would have been nice just to sort of reset, recover, and then obviously the next week would have been nice to play. But no, it's looking like it's going to be, is it Quinn's a week on Sunday?
A week
Sunday. So, I mean, positive again. You've had 3 weeks to squeeze your analysis in instead of having to scramble it in.
It's been class, mate.
Yeah.
He's just doing extra. He's not squeezing it in. He's just doing more and more.
Just love COVID.
Going through the archives of Harlequin's lineouts, left, right, and centre.
You say this, Blazy the other day rolls into training, he's like, mate, got something to show you. Real chuff with himself. Shows me a clip from 2012 at Sale. He's like, can we run this lineout? if you want, mate, yeah.
What's he been watching at home?
I really don't know.
He's on
mate.
Video.
He's got 2 kids and he's missed it at home and he's watching 2012 Sale v Leicester.
Was he playing in it? Was that why? He's watching his old clips.
Classic game.
Oh my God. There'd be a few old boys knocking about in that, I reckon. Did Evs play for Leicester? He was Leicester Academy,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
he didn't play for Leicester.
I think 2012, though, he was at Wasps.
He was at Wasps then?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, because we had the Dragons game, didn't he? And he was playing in that one.
Yeah, he was 2012 to 2014, I think he was.
I think we should throw it back, Jam. Batch. You're Sam Batch, lad. For people who don't know, Stoke City fan.
Stoke City fan.
Very gritty. Very, very gritty.
Rory Delatt with the wrong phone. And Tony Pulis getting it gritty. You know how
that
it is.
That is, mate. That is absolute classic. Bit of a rivalry, schoolboy rivalry from back in the day. Sam Batch. I can't remember. I was Bramall High. I don't remember playing you in that fixture list, but then when I went to Wilmslow sixth form. And we had a Cheshire Cup game, I remember.
We certainly did. You rolled out at Loosehead, did you? Or was it Tighthead?
I think I was Tighthead, mate, back in that day, yeah.
You were gritty, weren't you? You could play across the front row.
Yeah, all across, yeah.
Shape of your life
not very,
as well.
Not very well, proper.
1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. But I think you roll us over, Cheshire Cup. I remember you came to, you played us at our place.
Yeah.
You, Holmesy. There's a few Batch boys have played Premiership rugby, aren't they, out of your sort of...
Yeah, Will Cliff, Liam Alec. Yeah.
All in the same age group, pretty much.
Cliffy's year above, Lee was the year below. Will Cargill's at Pirates at the
Pirates,
minute.
Yeah.
I think a few boys had little stints maybe at Manchester when they were in that one.
Yeah.
So a few boys did a little bit of...
The Batch boys rolling through.
Mate, glory years.
We had a good couple of years, yeah.
Was it like, watch out, like that James Gaskell's coming?
Mate, you joke, it used to be... So Jammer and Tom Holmes... We were both Sam Batch boys. I played with Holmesy that year at Sale, and then Holmesy come to Rotherham as well for a year and a half.
I've got a funny story about Holmesy. On Jam and Stag, I kept calling him Ed Holmes, and I don't know why. Preferably because I was absolutely steaming. But I kept calling him Ed Holmes, and I reckon after about 4 hours of me being annoying as anything, he was like, mate, my name's Tom.
He pulled you to the side.
I was like, yeah, it's just banter, mate.
Mate, can I have a word?
Like, if you call me Ed one more time, I was like, mate, I'm so sorry.
So you're not pals?
No, well, I think, you know, after that, we kind of got on a bit better. Yeah, we bonded, and I called him Tom from there on.
Oh, there we go. No, back in the day, growing up, it was like, were you 16? Did you play England 16s, 18s, and 20s?
Yeah.
And it was Jammer and Holmesy all the way through. They played at school together, played at club together. Both at Sale together, then in England together. It was like, oh my God. And then we were playing against them in the Cheshire Cup. It's like, oh my God, that's James Gaskell. Oh my God.
The Batch boys.
Yeah. You're doing bits though, to be fair.
We had a good couple of years. I think we won the Cheshire Cup that year, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were quite fortunate with what we had. Because there's lads like Ross Sutherland as well, who went on to play for Scotland 18s and 20s, maybe. So yeah, it was, they were a good couple of years. They were fun years, but like you say, it's... we've played against each other for a long time now, kid, and with each other.
Yeah, massively, mate, massively. What cracks me up about schoolboy rugby is when you go to like a club game, and obviously you have club tie, don't you? But then the few boys that have played county, obviously for us it was Cheshire, or maybe North of England, you've got the lads still wearing their ties.
Yeah,
you've got like the...
Turning up to Cheshire training with your North shorts on.
It's like, oh my God, he played for North last year. He's class.
That is so true though, isn't it? Like, you read into everyone's kit so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got Nike boots on, mate. He's rapid.
Well, as it was always like, oh, he's got Saints Academy shorts on. And he's like, he's got his initials on. He must be in the academy. Like, oh my God. I bet he's well good. And they're actually just his brothers.
Maybe we're clearing out some old stash. My parents have just moved house. And my dad's like, oh, I've got a bit of a kit. Can you just go through it, see what we can chuck out? It's literally like Cheshire tie from when I was 16. You know, like North England tie from when I was 16. I'm like, Dad, I don't think I'm going to need these anymore.
I'll wear a tie then around my head. Next wedding.
Mate, massively.
There's some horrible, horrible kit though back in the day. The shirts that you used to play in, that used to drown you, but you thought you were class wearing it.
Yeah, they had to get the electric tape around the arms, didn't you?
Yeah, I can remember I played for Midlands under 20s, and this wasn't like, I reckon this was what, 2011 maybe? So it's like the kits were pretty good by then, and they were the old school cotton shirts, and I promise you, I've never felt anything like it. We played against London South East, I was like 17, and I reckon the top weighed more than me by the end of the game.
John, by your physique in those shirts.
Honestly, it was literally like a bean pole. Literally, his arms just like inflate a man, just like arms just dangling
in
out.
In those shirts, you just pray that it doesn't rain. I think they hold so much water, don't they? 100%.
I think I had shoulder pads on as well, so I think I look like an American football player. Honestly. But you'd think, like, the way that kits came on, I think, come on, like, give us something a bit tight fitting.
Yeah. Mate, that's old school, isn't it? That's just how it was. Times change, mate.
Do you reckon they'll come back in? The old school baggy cotton shirt, bring them back.
Oversized, mate. Imagine oversized tees. I know, you can't imagine it, but mate, fashions move on, don't they? They find the next best thing.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
No, so still on the code agenda, you end up at Sale, mate, and you're youngest ever captain. Is that Sale's youngest captain, or is that the youngest ever captain?
I think
in
it
the
was
premiership?
The Premiership.
Mate, that is so, fair play to you, that's class.
It was a strange one, though, because Mike Brewer came in and he almost wanted to try and build a squad around one of the young lads. But at the time, there was like Mark Quayle was there. Sorry about that.
One of the young lads, a.k.a. me.
Got many moons ago, actually. Young lads.
But like, yeah, Mark Quayle was there, Charlie Hodgson, Dwayne Peel. There was a lot of boys with a lot of sort of higher credentials than me. And I think looking back, I was definitely too young. And I think he probably made a bad decision at the time. But fair play to those boys. They made the job so easy, because even if I said something that wasn't quite right or was maybe not quite on track with where I should be, they were very quick to sort of sit down or just agree with me in front of the rest of the lads to sort of back me up. And I think that probably helped a lot towards sort of building my confidence and being able to speak in front of those boys. Because up until that point, I definitely was the quietest person in the changing room. I didn't want to sort of say boo to a goose, because there was some legends there that I had a lot of respect for. And I guess it was almost that old school mentality of don't speak unless you're spoken to, earn your stripes before you speak sort of thing. So, but yeah, it was definitely an experience, and it's obviously one that I look back on and sort of I am proud of. But I think if I had my time again, I'd potentially say no, because there was better people for the job, and it should have been more a case of me just enjoying my rugby, focusing on my rugby rather than worrying about all the sort of politics.
Probably made tougher by the fact that you've got those people in the squad, though. You know, when you're now expected to maybe take a team talk or whatever, and you're looking over at a Charlie Hodgson or a Quato who's been there all his life and whatnot. But
yeah, like Charlie's looking at you going, kick the corner or kick for posts? And I'm like, I don't know. What
you
do
tell
you,
me,
what,
pal.
You, what do you want to do, mate? I'll take whatever you want to do.
What year of adult rugby was that for you? First or
that would have been, so I was 20, just over 20, so wow. What, third season maybe.
So you haven't really been playing that long.
I must have played maybe 30 games up to that point.
It's a, like, that is a big step, isn't it, at that age, to be like, right, you see this bunch of blokes, you got to get them fired up for the weekend.
It's funny, isn't it, because you talk about you saying at that time you're someone who wouldn't really be a big talker, and I suppose leadership has moved on quite a bit, hasn't it? From, it used to be, you know, the old school circle of players with Martin Johnson in the middle, sort of like, you know, pointing at the mob, trying to get them fired up. Exactly. And you felt like you then needed, you were quite quiet at the time, and then what, you felt like you then needed to maybe talk a little bit more than you usually would have?
Yeah, I think because up until that point, I hadn't really seen someone like a Launcher's lead, because I think he's a very impressive leader, and you see, it's not just the stuff on the pitch, it's the stuff away from the pitch as well, and how he communicates in meetings and things like that. And back then, I hadn't seen any of that. So sometimes it'd be a case of, I remember Ben Cohen once going, mate, I think you should say this after the meeting. And I was like, well, he's a World Cup winner, so he probably knows what he's on about, so I'll say it. And I think, like you say, leadership comes in many different forms, and some blokes are just purely lead on the pitch, and there's enough blokes away from the pitch to talk, and that's probably the approach I should have taken. But yeah, like you say, I almost felt like I had to talk. And it was, you're looking around going, oh, how am I going to motivate Quates to perform at the weekend? Or how am I going to get this team to make sure they deliver away at Saints on a Friday night? And I guess looking back, in hindsight is class, is that I should have maybe asked those boys to deliver the messages in the changing room and just let me try and lead on the pitch.
Yeah.
But like you say, it's lessons learned in it. And like you say, it was a proud moment. And if I had my time again, I'd do things probably a little bit differently.
It's so impressive, mate, leading a Premiership side out of 20 years old. But I suppose, like you say, with those experiences now, when you've obviously captained Wasps, I don't know how many times, but a lot of times, and you just do what comes natural to you, don't you, now? And it's not a big shout in the changing room. It's just the sort of calm head, like you say, a bit like Launchers, to be fair, just a calm head, and it's very different to what it used to be, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, I guess I've read a fair bit on that sort of stuff, and there's so many different ways to do it, and there's we've got so many big personalities in the group. Like, you remember someone like a Joe Simpson who would literally scream and shout to get himself going. But then you look at someone like a dog who just sits there quite quietly, goes about his business and then goes out on the pitch. So you've almost got to find a way to deliver to each one of those people through one message. And some of it is emotive, some of it is with words, and other people, you know that if you look over at Dog and you know he's not said a word, you know that he's fired up and ready to go. Yeah. And that's all he needs. Mm. It's quite, I guess it's quite an interesting deep topic to talk about, but it's definitely a skill. And if you get it right, like Launch does, it's so easy to, I guess it comes quite natural to him.
Mm. I think it does come natural, and it certainly does. But I think it's something you learn, isn't it? Like, I'm sure if Launchers had been thrust into captaincy at 20 years old, he would say exactly the same to you. He's been here for a period where he's had different captains and probably taken little bits off of every single one. And I think, like you said, gone are the days of someone who's going to shout at every single person to rev them up. It's knowing what each person needs, what each individual. I think that's the main thing about a captain now, isn't it? It's, you know, you're almost like a man manager for your team, aren't you? As well as obviously you've got the coaches that do that, but the captain probably knows you a bit better on a personal level.
Yeah.
So it's about knowing them things, isn't it? And
I think as the game's gone on, it's so much more technical than it used to be as well. So you need a calm head because your messages need to be clear. So you can't be shouting. You need I know that Launch, when I've spoken to him in the past, he needs to be calm because he's got decisions to make. He's got messages to sort of put across to people. So if he's shouting and screaming and he loses his composure, then it's not, he's not getting what he needs to across to the players. And I think as the game's gone on, there is a lot less of that shouting.
100%. But I think you're, like, if you saw Launch lose it behind the post because we've not turned up for the first 5 minutes, that obviously hits you a lot harder, doesn't it? Whereas if you're trying to do that every day, after every meeting, it sometimes just becomes a white noise, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I think, like you say, a big job of a captain nowadays is being able to sit with someone away from the pitch and go, how are you? Are you doing all right? How's the family? But then also, I think we need more from you here, or you've been classed the last few weeks, keep doing it. Because they're the little messages that I guess boys respond to better than being criticised in front of a group in a review.
We're coming for the high performance podcast here. How are we getting deep and technical? Yeah.
No, it's interesting, the leadership topic though, because there are so many different personalities. There's no right or wrong way to do it, and everyone's very different. And I think you fall into it naturally, don't you? It's hard. You do learn it, and I think from what you were saying before, I think experience is a massive thing. So to be thrust into it at 20 years old, mate, that's phenomenal, to be fair to you. And like you say, you've definitely better for the experience as well.
I agree. Now let's completely change the topic and let's go on to socials.
Oh dear.
Because Jammer's got one of the best nicknames, I think, in world rugby that isn't actually started, that it isn't actually your nickname to start with. You've just taken it over.
Which one?
The Jammy Dodger. And I think it's unfairly been brought onto you. And I think it's been pushed over by a certain Brendan Macken, isn't it?
I think that was it. Brenny was obviously the original, and there is copious amounts of time he's been caught.
And evidence.
The worst one being in Winter Wonderland, comes up to the lad's big tray of Jaeger bombs, thinking, here we go. Look down, he's tipping it at his feet. What are you doing, mate?
Tommy Tipper caught.
And then he obviously left, and then...
Because he put the original picture in, did he? Did he put the original picture in?
Well, I think the original one was himself, and then he's left, and then Dog has obviously known that it's coming his way. So he's got on the front foot, changed my face into it, and then pushed it as hard as he can.
That picture, it's a Jammy Dodger, obviously, with Jammer's face as the jam. And honestly, it makes you laugh every time I see it, and I think he's such a good nickname.
It was our WhatsApp group icon, wasn't it, for a long time?
Yeah, for a good 8 months.
We should maybe put it back, actually.
Yeah.
It's making me happy. But socials are a distant memory at the moment.
They are, aren't they? One of my favourites is obviously Jammer's birthday is towards the end of the season, and it always falls at the end of the season, isn't it? So the tradition, you know, we get him a present, and it's normally drink-based, isn't it? And we sing happy birthday to you, don't we, continually until he finishes. And I reckon, how long do you reckon we've gone
time.
For? I reckon we've gone for a good 10 minutes. Do you reckon we've sung happy birthday?
10 minutes flat of happy birthday to you.
Hello, watch out for that voice.
Available for wedding.
No, but and the thing is, the energy builds, doesn't it, more and more.
Was it the first time we did it? We're in that pub in London, weren't we?
It was Hasks and Dozer's last one, wasn't it?
that was a dark place to be. But to be fair to the lads, that energy that came from it
gets you through it.
Got me through it.
Do you have a fear every year? Because obviously the end of season social, it's exciting. There's people leaving. It's like nice to you know, round off the year with a celebration. Do you have a little bit of anxiety about knowing that's coming? Because it's normally the first thing of the day, isn't it? So
it gets everyone else up for it, seeing how much pain you're
like,
in.
Everyone else is so excited about it. And then there's like, for me, I would hate that, knowing it's coming and knowing it's going to be something and people are going to be screaming in my face for a good 10 minutes and I'm going to feel horrendous after.
Oh, we must be year four now. So, I mean, I'm kind of used to it and it's just a gritty way to start the day.
You were lucky that COVID hit, so you missed 100%. One.
Yeah. He's like, oh no, I'm worried about
it. Let's move the season completely.
It's, I mean, I'm glad I'm the entertainment, but it's not enjoyable in the slightest until maybe an hour later if I'm still available and still out and about.
Well, this is it. You write yourself off and then you get home early, don't you? You're in bed for 10 o'clock, happy days.
10 o'clock train every time, mate.
There you go. Already pre-booked tickets, 10 o'clock home.
Make sure I get the cheap train home.
It's a birthday present to himself.
That's a northerner in him, that. Cheap tickets home.
No, but it has been tough, hasn't it, obviously, with COVID and everything. Obviously, the social aspect of it is something, you know, that gets spoke about in rugby quite a bit. That's why it's, you know, everyone likes it. But it's been so hard, hasn't it, to kind of try and bond as a squad, especially with the new lads coming in, having them opportunities that we would, what, have three a year normally?
Yeah.
You know, like one in your pre-season to get to know the lads, a Christmas one, and then obviously an end of year one. It feels like you've missed that opportunity to get to know lads as well as you can, because it's always easier over a pint or a few if it's...
Mate, definitely. Because we talked on a previous podcast, I think it was the first one back, and we talked about how hard it was saying goodbye to lads who had obviously spent long time at the club and whatnot. But then you've got the reverse of that. That's actually introducing lads into the club and having a few beers with them. And it is the best way to bond. It's, you might think it's old school or whatever, but the best way is to have a few beers, welcome them. And I suppose the good thing about a few beers is, unless you're a complete nose, you get away from the rugby and you get to know someone properly, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
So it is a shame for the new lads who've come in that we can't have a few beers, but... when we do get the opportunity, we're going to have to lock us in a room somewhere.
Well, I think that's what the whole country feels like, doesn't it? Like, yeah. The whole country, obviously everyone, I'm sure, has been enjoying themselves at home, but when the shackles are off as such and you're out in a pub, I think it's going to go one or two ways, isn't it? Obviously, everyone's going to absolutely lose their heads and people are just going to be steaming, falling asleep everywhere, or everyone's going to be worried about coming within 2 metres of each other.
Yeah, that 10 o'clock train home is probably going to be quite full, isn't it? I think your tickets everyone now, I think. yeah. Shall we have a little look at some questions? Because we put a few feelers out on socials, on Twitter and Instagram.
We had a great response.
We had a huge response, haven't we?
Popular.
Before that, we've been asked for a shout out for a birthday.
We certainly have.
We're now doing shout outs for birthdays. Barney_8. I'm going to take a guess that his name is, you have to bear with me here,
Barney Humphreys.
Yes, good from you.
Good memory.
See, this is a guess because I've gone onto his Instagram and his name isn't on it, but his tag is @Barney_8. Follow him. Let's get his followers
up. Yes, through the roof.
And I think his old dear's message as well, and she's got Humphreys in her title, so I'm putting two and two together and probably getting six, but happy birthday. Yeah. I think it was last week, so Barney, happy birthday from us all.
From everyone at Any Stingos and the whole WASP squad, eh?
Yeah. Hey, there you go. What a birthday present that is. Happy birthday.
I'm not singing. You've got the voice.
Let's get on to some questions. We've had so many about your hair jammer, which I think's nasty. And we'll just go with it. There was one on Twitter. Do you have any plans to change your hairstyle?
I'm gonna go no. No. I just couldn't see myself with
if it ain't
anything
broke,
else.
Don't fix it, yeah. Eh?
I mean, it doesn't look great coming out the top of the head guard and stuff like that, but...
My favourite story about Jammer's Lid is at one of the WASP Christmas parties, we were lucky enough to have the funfair rides that were there that had been left over. And we're obviously all having a few drinks and there's one of the ones that just goes round and round, doesn't it? It goes round and round. And Jammer's on there and we're cracking up because every time it's going round, it's pushing his fringe the other way, and he's flicking it back. And I reckon this ride lasted for a good 3 minutes, and constantly he's going round and he's flicking it. And everyone, honestly, I reckon there was about 15 of us watching it, and he was doing it every time perfectly. And fair play, got it back in place every time.
Hey, look at it, it's beautiful. You're growing, it's quite long at the moment.
Yeah, it needs a trim.
It's a lockdown lid, isn't it?
Unfortunately, it could be back to the top knot, the Ooh. Robbie Miller top knot.
Think Big Jeff, get him involved, or do you not trust him?
I said that to him, and he bottled it. He said he was scared to do it.
Oh, right, wow.
So
yeah, if we get me and Jammer go to the same place, he can't be. Jason's our man. Shout out Groom Barber Club. Looks after us.
Jeff Tumangalan has taken the reins of the squad, most of the squad, while the hairdressers or the barbers are shut. I think most boys go to hairdressers. So,
yeah, some want the full head massage, everything, hot towel.
Yeah.
Pedicure, manicure.
We've had a load of questions. We've got a Mr. Farbrace.
I'm so glad you're reading that.
I know. There's
it's so names, hard. Honestly.
It is. The names are tough.
It doesn't help that I can't read either. But
we've got, who else? We've got another person asked it as well. Where are
What's
you?
What's his thoughts on
I can't find it. No, it's not that one. That one, I'm saving that one. Just on the head. On the headgear, mate. Change your headgear at half time. Just a few, a few people wondering why.
Yeah, I mean, I've always done it. It's just I happen to have two different head guards at the moment because times are tight. And I don't want to spend money. I'm a northerner, and Pudsey gives me a free one. I mean, I'd like it to be somewhat interesting, but it really isn't. So I don't like having a cold, wet head as I go out for the second half. So I just put a fresh one on.
Understandable,
mate. That's good game management for me. That
simple that's as science.
That. Yeah.
The science.
So you've always done it?
Always done
it. I'd never picked up on it since recently. I've seen people commenting on
it. No, I
it
mean,
does, it has weirded me out a bit. Because you go wear the black one first half, do you?
Yeah, and then the blue one the second.
And then when I'm like, did he have that on in the first half?
It looks different.
I start second guessing myself. I'm like, what's Jammer's done something differently here?
Jammer looks nice.
Whoa, okay. I like it. Let's get out there.
Is there a reason why you wear the black one first?
Again, it's just
understated.
The first one out the kit bag.
But is it always the black one first?
I mean, I'll wear the blue one.
Okay.
Just to spice it up.
James, you've been playing that well, mate. You just keep doing what you want to do, mate. Okay.
Thanks, Tom.
Now we've got a couple of interesting questions. The first one is a really good one, and I like it a lot. Where is he? What? Here we go. Matthew Revel. Best services on the M6.
Great. Great motorway.
It's a great motorway. It's a great question.
It is a great question.
Always
roadworks on it, though, no matter what.
I've got to give a big shout-out to Sandbach, just because it's the hometown, and they used to have a Wimpy, which was outstanding. You were saying you haven't been to a Wimpy before, Tom, which I'm a little bit disappointed in.
I've not.
If Wimpy are listening, send some stuff through. We'll get on to you. We'll let you know what our thoughts are and let Tom experience his first Wimpy live on air.
Yeah, thanks. And then maybe sponsorship and, oh, God, possibilities.
Unbelievable.
What's that sound match? There's a Mackey's, apparently.
told me.
It's fairly gritty. It's a Costa, Mackey's, KFC sort of stock, but it gives you what you want.
A bit like Sandbach, really.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
I guess moving away from the M6... I know I'm a big fan of Gloucester services.
Don't do this to me.
Well, Tom, you're rattled. Not.
Most overrated services. We seem to stop at Gloucester services every game.
Even if we're going to sale?
Yeah. Should we just go buy a Gloucester service? The most overrated services. Comment.
We're playing Leicester. We're going to. We're stopping
me.
At Gloucester services.
Honestly, there's no Mackey's.
Apparently.
There's no fast food options. It's like posh sausage rolls. It's overpriced in the... God, I sound well tight saying that. It's like, I don't know, overpriced popcorn and beef jerky in the shop.
Do you think you dislike it because it's on normally before a game? Do you think you'd enjoy it more if it was just a casual stop or
no,
post-game?
No, because post-game I'm after something a bit dirtier than a...
A bit naughty.
Yeah, than a rustic... sausage roll made with
mean it is like sausages. It's like a sourdough with sweet chili beetroot with a fresh feta rocket and panini.
It's like launches and his slices of peach on his sandwiches.
What about launches thinking farm food? It was a farm shop. That's an absolute classic. Genuine. I've absolutely stitched him up there, but I don't care.
Well, you're gonna have to expand on that one.
Well, I don't know. basically, I was actually there, but the story, I'm just going to make this story up. It was on an end of season social, wasn't it?
In Huddersfield we were.
In Huddersfield. And he said, oh, what's that shop over there? Never heard of that. Farm Foods. What's that? He said, what's that? Is that like a farm shop? Like deli and stuff like that? He's like, no, mate, that's Farm Food. I've never heard of it. And we like explained to him, and he was like, oh,
was it? Never been there.
He was absolutely gutted, bless him.
On the M6, on the way home from Cov to Manchester, I stop off at Norton Keynes. I like anything with a
McDonald's in it.
Yeah, have you heard of it? McDonald's, mate. Do some class burgers. With Leon.
Yes.
Mate, yeah. Big Good Leon fan. I think they've started to open some up north, haven't they? But it's generally a southern thing.
Yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
A London.
It's a London thing.
London brand.
Yeah, Leon for me. That's Norton Keynes. I just had to Google it then just to make sure. Norton Keynes on the way back.
Again, any sponsorship.
Shout out to Leon and Norton Keynes.
No, that Leon is delicious, isn't it? Healthy, nutritious, and fast.
Pre-game Leon, yeah. Post-game Mackies.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that. Yeah, definitely. A Leon pre-game, you're getting everything you want there, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You're hitting the nutrition boxes, aren't you?
Hold tight,
Chris
Lowe. Shout
out to Chris Lowe Nutrition.
Anabolic Kitchen.
Anabolic Kitchen, I knew you were going to say that. Have you got a favourite one, John Boy? You got one that you stop off at every time? Or?
I obviously got on the M6 on the way home, so is it Chorley? Is that how you say it? I don't know. Yeah, cool story, bro. it's literally the one in between Coventry and Birmingham.
It's got is it just your usual?
Supposedly it's got KFC in there. I don't know.
Apparently.
It's also got Burger King, Starbucks. It's got, yeah.
Do you know what I don't mind? It's sometimes there's an M&S food, isn't there?
Yeah.
And a Waitrose food. Is it Waitrose sometimes in services?
Yeah, little Waitrose.
It's a nice little pick-me-up sometimes, isn't it?
100%. Find a few things a bit different in there if you want.
It's a little bit posh, isn't it?
But mango fingers, watermelon fingers, who knows?
Oh, yummy. And then finally, this is the best question we've ever had. Wow. So I'm going to definitely have to give the person a shout-out for asking it. Where are you?
At @cruise_Tom. Too many questions. It's sweet, wasn't
mate,
it?
Honestly, there have been so many questions. Here we go. From Whistle Lips Tony.
Wow.
At Siesta Forever.
You got to do Whistle Lips.
Whistle. It's a whistle. Shout out to Ian.
Lips Tony.
What are your thoughts on coleslaw?
I'm a big fan of coleslaw.
Is this one of your mates or is this just a random question? I thought when I saw it, I was like, oh, it must be like, this is some banter. Watch out. Waiting for the coleslaw story to come out.
It was me.
And
coleslaw.
It turns out, no, it's just Whistle Tom coming out with a good random question like it.
Yeah, I mean, coleslaw is a good staple in a.
Do you go Tesco finest or do you go just like are you happy with a normal coleslaw?
Oh, homemade.
Wow.
Okay. A vinegary coleslaw or a mayo coleslaw? Talk to me, lads.
It's got to be mayo.
It's got to be mayo on it, yeah. Maybe a little bit of cheese in there as well.
Oh, huge. You naughty boy.
Just a little bit. Nothing. Yeah. The Anabolic Kitchen wouldn't be too happy if we had too much cheese.
Light cheese.
Yeah.
Light cheese.
Hashtag keto. Hold tight.
Hashtag light cheese. Anybody? when are you bringing out the coleslaw, though? This is barbecue weather, is it? Is that what we're expecting? Or just bringing it out on a random Wednesday? Coleslaw on
Wednesday. Coleslaw.
Yeah.
Coleslaw Wednesday. Oh. Watch out. Can't wait for them effects buttons. That would have been perfect.
That would have been perfect.
Yeah, maybe, you know, like an Abbey Gourav pulled pork.
Oh, huge shout.
Yeah, he doesn't do a man. He's lean, though.
Does a summer slaw.
He does
he?
A summer slaw, yeah. Hold tight the red cabbage. Isn't it?
So good. Cruzy's meant on
backwards. No, I'm obviously a real weirdo with some of my food, like my McDonald's order and stuff like that. It's very strange, but coleslaw for me is with like barbecue ribs cut through that, you know, that rich salty sauce with a bit of that fat in there.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
Am I salivating?
Watch out, MasterChef, I'm coming for you.
Hold the red cabbage.
Red cabbage. Bom, 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 bom.
Oh my god, that's cracked me up. So your weird McDonald's order, should we talk about that?
I'm more than happy to explain.
It's intrigued me. I don't know what it is.
So I'm a weirdo, and I don't like anything on my burgers from McDonald's. So I'll go a plain double quarter pounder, so completely plain, and I'll ask for no cheese as well.
No cheese.
Yeah.
So bread, patty.
Bun.
That is dreadful.
I do add barbecue, so I will get some barbecue sauce and add it. Okay. You know, just to get that liquid, get it going, so it's not like you're chewing a pillow.
A bit of lubricant in there, don't
you? Yeah. But yeah.
I can't see that, Tom.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I reckon I could eat.
Can I tell you how many times they've put cheese in it? The amount of time. Oh. And do you know how this.
When does it infuriate?
When I drive off or I get home and I look in it and there's cheese in that.
Do you eat any?
Honestly, there's like a single solitary tear that just like comes out.
Lands on the cheese.
Scrape it all out. No. You can still taste it.
So you don't eat it?
Oh, so you don't eat it?
You wouldn't eat it?
That's going straight in the bin. Fuming, yeah. Oh, absolutely fuming. Luckily, I normally get 6 chicken nuggets with it, so I just tuck into them.
Legend.
But,
Wow.
Yeah. And I get the nuggets without the batter on.
Grilled nuggets. Yeah.
I get them lean nuggets, please. Yeah, I just don't like.
No?
No, the gherkin, that plastic. Like, I understand that everyone loves that American cheese, and like, I wish I did. Honestly, it would make my life easier ordering from McDonald's if I liked it. Trust me, I want to like it. But the amount of times, I can't tell you. There's always like, Rosie's always like, do you want to check it before we go? It's like, nah, it'll be fine. I've explained it. Like, plain, no cheese. Yeah, no worries. Got you. Hold tight. Get home. Next thing, cheese.
That is such a random order.
But I feel like I deserve it sometimes because of my order, so.
Yeah, but it's such an obscure order that you'd think they'd get it right.
And they don't.
And they don't.
Yeah. I love to know how many people are like that. Because I feel like you're probably not the only one.
Yeah, it feels like I'm the only one. They get the order wrong enough for me to be the only one.
Yeah, that's blowing my mind a little bit that you order that.
Well, try it next time you go. Let me know. Let me know your feedback.
Never really go, mate.
this is like once a year or something. Like
end of season, like off season stuff. Isn't it?
Did you? Sorry, this is another thing. Did you see Hask's rant on?
Yeah, I did. Really enjoyed it
on Instagram last night.
I love watching him when he's annoyed like that.
Honestly, it was quality, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, how long was it? Like 8 minutes. I was like, I just can't believe how spot on with everything he says. Yeah. Like, we record a podcast and forget what we're saying, and we've got it all written down.
It was like, oh, he's finished now. Oh no, he's good.
And
he is right though. To be fair, wasn't he? He was saying, if anyone's not listened to it, he was basically saying that he's promoted Grenade and he's also promoting McDonald's, and people were saying there's a bit of a conflict in sort of opinions or whatever. But what he's saying is basically you can have balance, so you can have one and the other and sort of live somewhere in the middle. You don't have to be extreme onto the McDonald's side or extreme onto the sort of like the healthy sort of supplement side. You can sit somewhere in the middle, isn't it?
100%. It's like you said, if you want to lose weight, it's about being in a calorie deficit. But yeah, was it Sharon and Terry?
Yeah.
I feel sorry for any Sharons and Terry. I was absolutely wetting myself. Oh, Terry.
Well, Terry's come over here eating his Big Macs again.
Someone's at home with Terry and he's like that, eating his Big Mac. He's like, he's talking to me.
Mid-bite. Yeah,
like, no, I was cracking up.
I
thought it was good. So I would advise people to give a listen because... Mm.
He's knowledgeable, isn't he?
He is. He's very knowledgeable in that he's wrote numerous books. Obviously, Chloe, again, she's an actual qualified nutritionist.
Yeah.
They've both worked in that industry for a long time. And I think if people are struggling, especially at the moment being in lockdown with, you know, seeing all these different things of health influencers, nutrition influencers, it's look at the people that actually have the qualifications and aren't trying to promote a quick fix.
100%.
On that as well, let's get some pressure on Hask to get on here.
Yeah.
I think if we're going to plug Hask, then let's tag him on anything that you're doing. If you're ever messaging anything goes, the next time we have a guest on, just tag Hask as well, and let's try and get him on as well.
He always says he doesn't do anything for free, though, does he?
Well, we can promote his...
We just promoted him then. Yeah, we just promoted him. Mate. His whole image.
Get our pal on, can't we?
Exactly. We're mates, aren't we? Or colleagues. I think he'd say we were colleagues, wouldn't he?
Yeah, probably. It's a shame.
He'd be like, look at you two with your podcast now.
He does speak like that.
Who do you think you are, the good, the bad, the
mate, don't mug him off too much.
I'm joking. Hask, I love you. He knows I love him.
One, do you want to introduce this next bit? It's huge.
No, I've got another question, obviously. James, expecting your first child. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Should I say your second child? How is your first child, Reg, going to deal with it?
Oh, yeah.
Reg is a...
Chocolate lab,
who has got the cutest blanket in the world for anyone. If you go to James's house, obviously not in lockdown, but out of lockdown, Reg will come to the door and he'll greet you with his blanket and he wants to show it off. And he's literally so excited to show you his blanket, isn't he?
You've never seen a tail wag so hard with a Christmas blanket in his mouth ready for you. I feel like he does not know what's coming. He has the run of the house. He has the sofa to himself. He has prime spot in front of the fire. And yeah, I don't think he knows what's coming. But yeah, very exciting.
Do you know what's coming, James?
No, Tom. I look at you pair coming into training some days and think, have we made the right decision?
Excuse me?
Well, I'm full of energy.
Yeah.
Always.
Bring it. Sellotaped open.
We're going in and going, whoa, whoa, whoa. I've only been up since 5.
Yeah, very exciting. It's going to be great to join the dad crew, which is growing at the club.
It certainly is, isn't it? Rob Miller.
Tommy's obviously...
Yeah, Brad Shields had his second.
Thomas
Lima.
Oh my, there's loads.
There's a big crew.
There is loads, actually. There's a big crew. There really is loads, yeah.
So yeah, very exciting.
Mate, well, you're in safe hands. There's a lot of company there, isn't there?
I'll be coming for advice in the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's not long, is it?
What, we 38 weeks? So yeah, really not long.
But all the hospital bag packed?
Everything's ready to go. It's just a case of baby turning up.
Are you on edge at all?
She's very relaxed, which I think has me very relaxed. I think if she was a little bit more nervous and edgy, then it would probably filter through. But yeah, I think we're both just very excited for the arrival.
Best thing to do is what I did with Casper, is just be playing a game. be on a plane.
I was sat next to you on the bus, and I think, I can't remember, and you looked at your phone, and I think you just said something like, Casper's here, or something.
On the plane, yeah. I literally spoke to Rosie before we took off, and she was like, I think I'm starting to get some contractions, but I'm going to go back to sleep, and then hopefully we'll be a bit further on. And then landed, and obviously took my phone off aeroplane mode, and next thing you know, it was like, missed call. One from her mum. So I rung her and she was like, it's a boy. And I was like, have you had a scan of you? I was like, is everything okay? She was like, no, it's a boy. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I've had it. I was like, no, you haven't. She's like, yeah, look, I'll FaceTime you now. And it was like the most surreal thing. It was literally as I landed, and I didn't want to do the American thing and be like, oh my God, yeah, on the plane. And be like, I've just had a baby boy. In hindsight, I should have. Yeah, it'd been absolutely hilarious. But then it was like, to people like slowly asking me, because I wasn't going to go up to people and be like, oh my God, Rosie's given birth, because I don't know, I would have found that a bit weird. Like, so like people slowly asking, I was like, yeah, she's just given, and like every person I did to couldn't believe it. Yeah. And it was like slowly getting around the squad, and everyone's like, is Rosie giving birth? And I was like, yeah. It was so, and then we had to get the bus back, didn't we? Because we flew into Heathrow, so we had to get the bus back to Coventry, and then I had to drive
straight to the
thing in full Wastash, yeah.
Looking good, signing autographs and on the way.
It was actually, I don't know how to describe it. It's just like a midwife-led unit that she gave birth in, because the baby, Casper, came that quick that they couldn't get to the big hospital. So he was actually nearly born in a shell toilet, but luckily Rosie's mum said, no, I'm not stopping there, and carried on driving, and he was nearly born in the car park as well.
Just made it.
Literally, I think from arriving at the hospital, he was born within 2 minutes, I think.
Well, he was ready, wasn't he?
So
it's a great story.
That is
good. It is, and she still holds it over my head now.
Was she fuming or not?
I think because it happened so quickly and she couldn't really think about it, and maybe she's still in a bit of a daze. So when I got there, it was like, I was
here the whole time.
Whole time, honestly. I was there. I was in the back of the car. No, she doesn't. She hasn't grilled me too much still. She doesn't hold it that badly. Only now and then.
Well, I'm sat in a room with a couple of high-profile entrepreneurs. Yeah? Would you call yourselves that?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Fit Club?
Yeah. Yes.
Your own business, how's it going?
Let me just take my podcasting hat off and put my Fit Club hat on.
As you can imagine, fairly slow at the minute, Tom. It's I say me and Josh have been in this, what, 2 years now?
Nearly, yeah. Probably coming round to it, yeah.
And yeah, we've had some great fun working with people like Right Hassle, going in, doing some sort of hit sessions with their staff, doing a few seminars on sleep, health, nutrition, and yeah, it's great fun away from the day job. And I think if lockdown hadn't come when it did, we could have potentially pushed it out to a few more businesses. But yeah, it's great fun. It's something to do, and yeah.
It actually started from doing a player appearance, mm-hmm. didn't it? And we'd done a player appearance with DS Smith on a nutrition presentation. Then we're like, you know what, actually, we can kind of, the knowledge that we've taken in from being professional rugby players about what we should eat over the years, working with various nutritionists, we can, you know, put this across to different companies, different people. And then, like Jammer said, we've worked with Right Hassle now for probably about the whole time, really, two years and 18 months. Done different presentations, like you said, nutrition, sleep, well-being. And we really enjoy it, don't we? Really enjoy going down there on a Wednesday night, we normally averages from like 10 to 20 people and just putting them through different paces. And it's the main thing for us, isn't it, is just about them enjoying it. We try and make it different every week, so it's not like they turn up and it's like, okay, we're doing this same thing every week. We try and change it, and it's just been really nice to get to know them, isn't it, on like a personal level. And the fact that they keep coming back is quite nice, because it means what we're doing they are enjoying. Whereas, you know, it kind of felt the first couple of weeks we were like, I don't think anyone's going to come, because it was like an old school sign up sheet and we'd get an email saying, oh, you've got 10 people this week, and then you're like, oh, what if we get like two next week? What are we going to do? They've been absolutely fantastic, haven't they?
I suppose one of those things you probably get better at the more you do it as well, as you get more comfortable, you understand what they want and whatnot.
Yeah.
I think it's, like Josh says, it's nice to be able to deliver something different every week. And I think a lot of that comes from, like, people like Gordon Brett used to be classic, coming up with just different sessions to keep you motivated. So we sort of dumb them down a little bit and make it sort of applicable to everyone, rather than some of the stuff that he made us do was pretty gritty. It's like you say, playing cards with them and things like that, and it just keeps them coming back and keeps with a smile on their face. And I think the best ones are when they walk away going, I'm absolutely knackered, but I can't wait to come back.
But I loved it, yeah.
Yeah, and like you say, it puts a smile on your face and it makes you feel like what you're doing is working.
So as you're obviously so used to like the high performance environment, to go in and just go and have a sort of get the heart rate up and go and have a bit of fun is probably quite a nice bit of...
That's it. We obviously teach the right technique and make it technical when we can and break down some of the exercises. But the main thing for us is that they're working. Like, that's what they come to do. They come to burn some calories and have fun whilst they'll do it. And we're very fortunate there, and they've got a nice, massive open space inside that we can use. And then when the weather's good, they've got a massive outdoor area. So that helps with us with the variety. They've also got a lovely set of stairs, which we use, which they're not very happy about. There's certainly been a few exercises that they don't like. So we have to rotate them and bring them in when we're feeling nasty. But no, they've been absolutely amazing, and being able to go in and do the presentations to, you know, 50, 100 people, that's another thing that, you know, that just helps us, you know, learn a different skill presenting to big groups. But no, it's been exciting, isn't it? Unfortunately, Jammer said, COVID's hit and we can't be going in and out, obviously, at different workplaces, especially at the moment with us getting tested and everything that's going on. So we've had to postpone it for the last, since COVID started, unfortunately. But as soon as we can, we'll get back there and look to potentially get some other companies involved that are interested, and maybe start doing some online coaching as well, which we've done with a few people, haven't we? But no, it's exciting. I think a few of the lads have been starting businesses recently, haven't they? Benny Harris obviously opened Studio Works in Lem, which, again, unfortunately, being in lockdown, but that looks unbelievable down there.
Yeah, that's a quality setup, to be fair to him. Like you say, COVID's struck and it's closed at the moment, but I think the gym's tend to be staying open. I think when it was at Tier 4, they were still open. So hopefully after this last few weeks of lockdown, that'll reopen. But yeah, like I say, a few boys have got things up and running, haven't they? There's
was it Benny Vellicott yesterday came out with his new upcycling business with with Beth.
Zach with his ice cream.
He sells ice cream.
Who else have we got? There's going to be some really obvious ones. Obviously, B with his music. I suppose it is a business, yeah. It's his own business.
So you're right. I think he's had to put a studio into his gaff. So I think maybe, I did mention that he could maybe get in here and record some, spit some bars in here. You know?
Hold tight.
That's what they say, isn't it?
Yeah. any other ones?
I can't really
loads of lads.
Lads. But lads are taking the time to upskill.
Yeah, I think that's cool, isn't it? That's one of the main things that's come from COVID is people have put their fingers in different pies and seen, you know, chase different ideas. Zach with his ice cream starting at the beginning, it's definitely helped B with his music lows, isn't it? Yeah. Having that time. And it's exciting because filters on perfectly to our next point. I don't know how we've done that seamless, isn't it? Which is life after rugby. Which obviously you've been doing an S&C degree, James. Fit Club fits in nicely with that. Is there anything else that you're thinking about? Obviously, like we spoke before, is rugby doesn't last forever, and the RPA are famous for it, aren't they? Saying you need to plan for life after rugby, but you always think, no, don't. And then you're like, actually,
it creeps up on you.
It certainly does.
Like we've said, this time now has given everyone a bit of reflecting to look at potentially things they can go into. Has anything sparked your interest during lockdown?
Maybe not during lockdown. I think the thing for me was trying to experience as many things as possible to try and help me make an informed decision, because I don't know how kids at 17, 18 go on to make a decision and with their degrees about what they want to do for the rest of their life, because unfortunately I've just hit 30 and I'm still trying to work out what I actually want to do. But yeah, the S&C degree has been good. It's been thought-provoking. Whether I want to go into that side of it or not, I don't know. Similar to Cruzier, I've been coaching with Jim at Old Ed's. They're a great group of boys, and coaching has been fun. But again, I don't know whether that's where I fully want to commit to. So I'd say I'm still testing the water at the minute. But something like, I guess you look at a few lads nowadays that are doing the, I guess, head of rugby role within some schools, and that looks quite cool. You get to teach a little bit, but also get to the rugby side of it. And
Mr. Gaskell.
Mate, could go back to the batch, mate, where it all began.
Mate, imagine. Giving back to the kids.
I actually think my old rugby teacher is head of Sandbach School now. Would you know that? Would you know who that is? You still got connections there?
As in head teacher?
I think he might be head teacher, yeah. Stuart Dodds, no?
I thought it was Mrs. Burns.
Maybe he's head of rugby.
Dodsy,
or maybe he's head of rugby.
Yeah, that's probably a good shout.
Yeah.
Something like that I think would be quite cool.
Mate, knock him off his perch, go and get him.
Mate, don't worry, tell Dodsy I'm coming for him.
What about you, Tom?
I don't know, mate. Yeah, as Jammer mentioned before, doing my coaching badges, which are unfortunately on hold at the moment with what's going on. I think they're potentially reopening up on April. But I know, obviously, a lot of boys do that because it's an easy win for us to get your badges and then see if jobs open up and whatnot. I'd like to do some stuff with the academy here first and sort of maybe transition that way, see if that whets my appetite to carry on coaching.
Whets your whistle.
Whets my whistle. But apart from that, mate, pretty similar to Jammer, really. Just testing the water a little bit, mate. Kids take over your life, don't they? It's so easy to...
And it's... I think, like Jammer said, it's... You're trying to narrow your focus, but rugby's still such a big thing in your life that I think it won't be until when you do retire that you're like, right, now I need to fully thrust myself into something, because it's so... You can be like, I'm not really interested in that, or am I interested in that? And you don't know until you're pushed in that direction. You might need that final push to actually really just look into it or go for it.
Tell you what I'd love to do.
A podcaster. You've already done it, mate.
Living the dream, mate. Punditry.
Yeah.
Or commentary. But
me, David Flatman.
See, there you go. Do you know what I mean? Match made in heaven. But yeah, no, something that I'd love to give a go. I think it's one of those jobs that's probably a lot harder than what people assume, though.
Well, that's it. You see, like, Nick Mullins and the sheets that he writes out before with facts on every single person. We're like, Tom Cruise ate chicken and rice yesterday at 4 p.m.
Ate a Mackey's on the way.
With no cheese in.
No, but and the getting your words out. Like, we know this, obviously, when we spoke originally about putting the podcast out.
What are you on about, mate? We've been amazing since
no,
day
no,
one.
But it makes you realise how hard it is. Yeah, you know, it like is. Getting your words out, stuttering here and there. If it's live on TV and it can't be edited.
The old James Haskell, have a little sing.
This, yeah, exactly.
Stop bringing him up, Tom, because he ain't going to come on if I keep doing these things.
Come on, Hask, come on. Yeah, it just makes me think how hard it is. But I'd love to do it. I'd love to do it and certainly try it. But I think it's quite a tough thing to get into because generally it's your international.
It's competitive, isn't it?
Yeah, very competitive.
Do you think you need to be an international to be a pundit?
No, yeah. I don't. No, not at all. But I think that it helps because you've got that... backing straight away, you've got the respect straight away. I think it certainly helps, but the best thing is just to be knowledgeable.
Yeah, it's the knowledge of the game, isn't it? And actually, and especially the way the game's gone, isn't it? It's becomes every area of the game is becoming more and more technical. Like we spoke about the line out, the scrums. Like you said, that's why I think David Flatman's so good because he understands the scrum.
Yeah,
yeah,
and he can explain that to people, whereas. If I was trying to be like,
you'd have to guess.
Yeah.
It's been able to explain the technical parts of the game in the most simple way, isn't it? Cause
and as quick as possible, isn't it? Because you've got 100%. Literally.
But I think even when you look at it with punditry as well, do you think it's, you might see a cycle of always current players doing it because they're the most in touch with what's going on because they're maybe recently retired or whatnot. The older it goes. You know, that the more the game's changed and the more it's harder to understand what is happening on the pitch.
Well, if you even think to like 3 or 4 years ago, how much rugby has developed and the different stuff that we look at week in, week out, it's ridiculous. And even compared to 10 years ago, like some of the analysis we did 10 years ago was embarrassing compared to what we do now. So I think, like you say, I think the current boys are probably the best people to do it because they're so in touch with the game. And I think... once you're sort of 4 or 5 years down the line, I think unfortunately, unless you're in and out of clubs day in, day out, you don't really know fully what's going on.
Mm.
And that's when it gets tough, I guess, because you're trying to explain something that you potentially don't understand to people who also might be struggling to understand.
And that's it, isn't it? If you want to stay in that game, you have to keep up to date. You have to talk to coaches, talk to players. So like you said, to stay current, because exactly what James has said, the game has changed so much.
And is changing, isn't it? It's just constantly.
It's always evolving. So you need to stay, like you said, current, stay up to date, and then you be a pundit for life.
You'd be the new Jimmy Bullard kid. Could see that. The rugby Jimmy
Sock
Bullard.
Sock AM. Rugby AM.
Rugby AM.
Yeah, there you go.
Hold tight.
Yeah. A noisy way to finish, lads.
It is, yeah. Ooh. We've started with rugby, had a little bit of fun in the middle, and then come back. Eh?
That was funny. I enjoyed that, lads.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming on, James.
No, thanks for having me, lads. It's been very enjoyable.
Yeah, mate, thank you. And as ever, thank you for listening. Remember to get into James Haskell, and we'll try and get him on one of the future podcasts.
And remember to like, share, subscribe, and also review us, please, because we were 7th best rugby podcast in the country. We need to up that. You know, we're coming for the good, the bad, the rugby. I've mentioned Hask again. Sorry, we're coming for that top spot anyway. Maybe when we get him on, we'll get it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
He'll plug up.
That's our that's our challenge for season 2. Get James Haskell on the pod. You heard it here first, eh? No, again, thank you for listening. And just remember,
any sting goes.